I pray that God will bless His Word today. I can't think of anything better than to open God's Word and to share the good things and the deep things and the satisfying things out of God's Word. The best gift that I could give you, if I could leave you a gift or an inheritance, that's what I would like to do. And I'm going to a very familiar scripture today, Psalms 91. Been lots of people's favorite scriptures, and it's been written and kept in people's wallets, and it's been on the battlefield, and it's been in the prisons, and this word right here has been a great power and help to many people. And the whole chapter is good, but I'm probably just going to deal with the first verse. And I'd like to try to be a little in depth if I could. And I don't even know if I could even finish the first verse in the allotted time we have today. So don't want to take too long, but I do want to try to cover as much of as we can in this one verse. So I wanted to find out the meaning of the words. So we're going to take it word by word, the main words of the sentence, not the fillers and the connectors, but mainly the main words of the sentence, and like to really dig and investigate and discover the meaning of this verse. Maybe it will, I believe and know that it will be something so wonderful as to strengthen and cause there to be a stabilizing factor to our lives. This says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So I'd like to just dig into that verse for a little bit. He that dwelleth in the secret place. And I want to think about the word dwell for a little bit this morning. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. The word dwell in the Hebrew, it means literally to sit down in quiet, to settle. To dwell is the word that we have, but it also, there are other words in the Bible, the word remain. And it also references to marry. Thinking about that, that gave me some insight. To marry. Sometimes you hear people say of a young man, "You need to settle down and get married." You ever hear that? So-and-so, they just need to settle down. That's what this word dwell, it has references to someone making marriage vows to one person, and that's fixed. That's it. That's forever. Until death do us part. To dwell means to settle, to stay put, to marry, to make, to abide, to continue, to endure. All of those words give us some picture of what this means. Okay, let's think about it now. He that dwells, he who remains, he who sits quietly down and stays in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Someone who is dwelling, someone who's decided to settle down and marry and sit there. You know, when you have a child and you say, "You've been naughty, I want you to go and sit." You know what time out is, right? If you have time out and you go there and you're hollering and you're fussing still and you're getting out of the timeout chair, and when your mama looks away, you sneak away. All of that, that's not dwelling. But when you quiet down and you settle down and you stay, it's an act of your will. This word is implying to us that we have a decision to make. And once we make the decision, that's it. This is fixed. This is where I'm going to stay. And I'm going to stay here quietly. I'm going to, no fussing, no discussion. I'm staying right here. I'm through struggling. I'm sitting. I'm staying right here. And I thought about also the kind of decision. Who had a decision like that, that we could take those words and say, this is how you can say this about your relationship with God. And I thought of Ruth and the words that Ruth said. She didn't say it to her husband. Many times we use it in a wedding. But let's go to the book of Ruth and just look at what she said to her mother-in-law. Her decision was, it was not an emotional decision. Orpah, her sister-in-law, the other brother's wife, was emotionally tied to her mother-in-law and didn't really want to leave. But when it came right down to, where am I going to really settle? Where am I going to spend the rest of my life? She made the decision, I don't really want to go with her to a strange land, leave my family and my gods forever. But Ruth had a different mindset about her. She made a decision and she asked, she entreated her, she said, don't beg me or entreat me not to leave you anymore because this is my decision. It was more than emotion. And that's what this word dwell, it means to settle down in quiet. It means to not just have an emotional pull to the Lord, be moved by a whole lot of people who are getting saved, so I think I'll get saved. A lot of people are talking about this church, so I think I'll come over here. But no, it is a quiet, firm, and steady decision. This is where I'm going to be. This is where I'm going to live. I'm going to marry this. This is it forever for me. And this is how she said, entreat me not to leave thee, Ruth 1 and 16. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. This is the decision when it talks about he who dwells in the secret place. This is what I've chosen. Wherever you go, Lord, I'll go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And where thou diest, I'll die, and where there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught or if anything but death parts you and me. This is the decision that we can have to stay and to settle down with the Lord. And you think about it. Where you die, I'll die. The Lord went to Calvary. The Lord suffered. The Lord, He gave everything up. Gave up life. Died in the suffering and shame and pain. And we say this to the Lord, Lord, where you die, I'll die. I'll go to Calvary too. I'll die with you. She said to her mother-in-law, your people will be my people. Do you realize what she was saying? These were the smallest people on the face of the earth. They were a very different people. They were very careful people. They were peculiar people, strange to the idol worshippers. Their ways were so different. They couldn't eat certain things. And they had all of these ceremonies and they had these sacrifices and their lives were so different. They were pure from fornication and from the drunkenness and the loose living around them. They were a people that were that were very, very different. Even back there, some people today say, why are you all so different? Why do you live so carefully? God's people have always been called by Him to that kind of lifestyle. You go back into these days. She knew what she was doing. I'm leaving my people and I'm taking this people to be my people. And it was no emotional decision. This is where Orpah and Ruth were different. Orpah could not leave her people. And she said, "Thy God, Naomi, your God is going to be my God." She left Molech, all of those other gods that they had, the Moabites had. She left that and she decided, "This is where I'm going to dwell. Where you lodge, wherever you live, that's where I'm going to live." And I think also about the decision in Romans chapter 8 and the last part of that. I know that that's speaking of God's love to us, that you can never, no situation can ever separate you from God's love for you. But I also think about it as a decision for me. I know God loves me. I know there's actually nothing you can do to make God quit loving you. He loves the vilest sinner. So in that way, this is true. Nothing can separate you from God's love. But how about it being also, I want to love God from here on out with all of my heart. And so my love for God, I'm going to make it so that I will never, never go back on that. That nothing, I'm going to make this decision, nothing can separate me from loving God, from serving God. Just take it as that and as the other also, but just look at it in this way. And for me to ask myself, who shall separate me from the love of God? Shall tribulation? And answer it in myself and in yourself. Shall tribulation, which means pressure, great pressure put against you, can that separate you from God's love? And will it separate you? Will you let it separate you from God's love? And we can answer this verse personally. No. Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress? No. Think about this. This is what it means to dwell. I'm going to settle down right here in God and nothing. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution? No. Famine? If we don't know anything about this, can I even make this decision and say, Lord, if it looked like that I didn't have anything more to eat, would I get angry with you? Would I go away from you? Would I disbelieve you? Would I doubt you? Would I say, well, there evidently isn't anything to this because I'm starving to death? Will famine separate me? Or nakedness? I don't have anything to wear. My clothes are in rags. Or people who are persecuting me have stripped me and paraded me out in front of the crowd. And I'm humiliated. I'm a saint of God, pure in my heart. And the enemy has made me to do this. Will I get angry with God and say, God doesn't love me. I don't want anything more to do with Him. Now, this has happened to people. And this is what it means to settle down. I'm going to stay with God. I'm going to dwell with the Lord. Nakedness or peril, danger, great danger. We don't know anything about these things, but saints of old have gone through these things. Somewhere, when we get on the other side, eternal side, there are going to be people there that went through all these things and stayed faithful to God. They knew what it was to make this decision. I'm going to dwell. I am going to endure and abide and continue and remain in God for till I die. And then it goes on and it says, I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. Now, this gets into your spiritual fight. You know, you have an adversary. Someone is fighting every move that you make for God. He fought you to not ever get saved. Fought against you. And then when you get saved, the enemy fights to keep you from all of God's blessings. He fights you. He fights every move that you make. He fights you from making this decision that I am going to, this is like marriage to me, okay? The idea is I'm going to fix it and settle it for life. I will never go back. I will never go away. There's nothing that God will allow in my life that will separate me from Him. I'm not going to do it. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth. Have we settled it that way today? Is there anything that people can do that will make you say, well, I'm through. Well, I'm finished. I'm not going to do this anymore. They do this to me. They act this way to me, and I'm through. No, our decision is I'm going to dwell. He who dwells, that's what we want to do. Height, depth, any other creature, I'm persuaded that they cannot, shall not, they're not able, they shall be able, they shall not be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. To sit down, to remain, and to be quiet. That's what it means to dwell. He that dwells. Now, there's another idea of dwelling also. It's the idea of lodging or to reside or permanently stay. Well, it's not another idea. It's just another way of in the Hebrew that was put to inhabit, to rest. This is where I will stay and permanently stay in this place. Now, I want to go to the next word. He who dwells in the secret place. This word secret place, I believe, it's referring, in that time, there was a place in their worship, in the sanctuary. There was a place inside that was a dark place. It was covered. When our children were younger in school, we did a model of that sanctuary. And it amazed me as we endeavored to follow the scriptures and we made this scale model. It amazed me. The thick covering that was put over that, it was very thick. It was skins, and it was another, there were three layers, actually, that went over that. It was entirely closed. There were no windows. It was a place where, how you would think, maybe not knowing the character God, but you would think, how could he get in there? But that place was where God would come and live. He lived out of that place. And it was so dark because there were no openings. And yet with His presence made it so bright you couldn't approach to it. It's almost a paradox there. But without His presence, it was entirely dark and black. But with His presence, there was no need for any lights of any kind. He was the light. He stayed in that. This is where God stayed. This is where He dwelt. That's where He chose to be. He was there. He moved and He shone out of it and he spoke out of it. And this is where He was. This is where the psalmist here is saying, He who dwells there. Now, only back then, only the priest could go in there, in that room. It was so covered. It was so inaccessible, but the priest went in once a year, only once a year. I won't go into all of that and all that it means, but anyway, in the New Testament then, we get a picture that we can go in, So it's not a literal place anymore, but it is still the place where God is. It is still His sanctuary. It is still the secret place. It's a place that is covered. And I'm going to look at that. This word secret, it means a cover. It means to hide by a covering. In Deuteronomy 32 and 38, it's translated as protection, the word protection. So he who dwells, and we've been through that now, we understand, nothing can separate me. This is my decision to stay and permanently reside here. He who does that in this place, the covered, protected place, the secret place, I think about that. This is where God lives. This is God's presence. This is where I want to be. Nothing is going to keep me from this place. This is my desire, and not only my desire. And let's look at this. I keep coming to this in my mind. 27 of Psalms. David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." It's not just a desire, but it is relentless pursuit of my life. This is what I want. Nothing is going to separate me from this. I will not allow anything to turn me away from this. This is what I've chosen for life. I want to stay in this place, this secret place where God lives. Whatever it takes, Lord, I want to be in your presence. I don't want to let anything keep me from being in God's presence. I want to live there. I don't want to just go in and out of it. And let's finish this, and I have another thought. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." I wonder this morning, have you and I made this the very focus and the purpose of our lives? This is one thing that I've decided. I want the presence of the Lord, and I want not just to have it visit me and kind of come and go in my life, but I want to dwell here. I want to, as if I were married, I want to live with God and be in His presence at all times. And this is what I'm going to seek after. That word "seek" is another message, but how do we seek after it? Solomon said, "You seek after it like somebody who seeks after gold." Those people who went after gold in our country, did they let anything stop them? They wouldn't. They would kill for it. Now, I'm not saying we kill for it, but in other words, for us, nothing stands in our way. We get rid of everything that's in our way so we can have this. I want to come back to this because it has a promise. David recognizes, if I can attain this, if I can be here and dwell here, then this is what's going to happen to me. So I want to come back to find that out in just a little bit. But I keep thinking of this also. Revelations chapter 3. "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out." Think about that. He that overcometh, I'm going to make a permanent fixture in my house. I'm going to make him a pillar. I'm going to make him something that is just, it's there. It's permanent. You think about, there are some pillars in ancient parts of the world that are still standing after thousands of years, right? Over in Greece, they're pillars. They've not ever been destroyed. And then it goes on and it says, he should go no more out. I think about that as our decision today. This is where I'm going to dwell. This is what I'm going to seek after. And I will never more go out. I'm going to stay in the secret place. I want to stay in God's presence, never to leave again. I will go no more out. Now, what does it mean to go out? It sounds like to me it's a decision that I make. I'm going out. Nothing can separate me. That's the opposite. I'm going out. But he said here, he shall go no more out. And I'll just leave it right there. But that thought just keeps coming to me. David said, I'm going to make this my search that I will dwell in this secret place. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. This is, don't be afraid to have this search in your life and say, This is my pursuit. This is what my life is going to be all about from here on out. I want to dwell in the secret place. Don't be afraid to make that determination and to say it as your testimony. He says here, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now that's what it's going to take. It takes us going through His blood. No one could go into that place without being cleansed. Revelation said, He that overcometh. Now we're going to look into this just a little deeper now. To be able to get there, it's going to be our decision. And then the decision has to withstand this. I must be washed in Jesus' blood. I must take Him as my Savior. I can't decide, well, I'm going to just dwell in the presence of the Lord now, and there you go. There you are. But no, we only get there by the blood. This must be our relentless pursuit. I want to be cleansed by His blood. And what's that all about? From all sin. So this decision to dwell in His presence, this is where it meets us in our lives. I've got to, and I must, be willing to forsake all sin, to be cleansed by His blood, to come and let Him wash me and purge me and cleanse my conscience from all the dead works, to become a new creature in Him, to forsake the old life. Yet having, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, that's that secret place, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, no longer the old tabernacle, but this is a new and a living way. It is viable. It is alive. It is living and working and enduring and breathing and moving and alive for us. It's experience. It's knowledge. It's not just emotion, but it's knowledge. It's living. By a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. These are all things that we could go into, but I'm going to skip over it and keep going. And having boldness, he said in verse 19, now in verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God. This makes us able, having Him there. Having Him there to sprinkle us. Having Him there to plead for us. Having Him there to intercede for us. He's there. We have a high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. And it says he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities and our weaknesses. He was tempted in all points yet without sin. He has compassion on the ignorant and those who are out of the way. He prays constantly for you because He knows you have an adversary who seeks to sift you as wheat, to keep you from God's presence. So, oh, praise God. We have a high priest who is right there today to help us to enter into the secret place. Wonderful. This is the key. This is how we get there. Through His blood and by His intercession for us. He advocates for us. He is your attorney. He is for you. Remember the message we had? If God is for you, who can be against you? Compare any enemy to Him. Having boldness now, having this determination, and having a high priest over the house of God, what does it say now? Let us draw near with full assurance. You can do this. We can get here. We can live here. We can decide it. God's blood will cleanse us to be able to go in there. That's how we overcome. He that overcometh, I'm going to make him a pillar. He won't ever go out. How do you overcome? We overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What's your testimony? One thing have I desired of the Lord. That's what I'm going to seek after. My testimony is that I will never leave. Don't entreat me to leave you, because I'm not going to leave. I'm going to marry you. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to remain with you. I will always serve you. I will be faithful to you with all of my heart until I die. I'm going to serve you. I will not leave you. That's our testimony. We must have that resolve and that testimony coupled with the power of Jesus' blood. You don't ever have to go out. You can stay. That's where I'm going to stay. That's where I'm going to live, Lord. I'm going to live in your presence. I'm going to make it my pursuit and my desire to seek after it. Nothing's going to get in my way. My own self is going to be my worst enemy. It will fight me. It will hinder me. It will befuddle my mind. But I am going to fight. I'm going to press, because this is what I'm going to do. Let us draw near with true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And what that has to do with is the Word of God. Everything that you know God wants you to do, you obey it. And when you do that, it cleans your body up. It cleans your actions, your words, what you do, what you see, what you say, what you take into your body. Everything that you do it in obedience to God's Word. It cleans up your life. God's Word says, putting away lying. A person who dwells in the secret place of the Most High is not going to lie. Not going to be dishonest and deceitful. We can't bring lying into that place. I have to get to this scripture somehow. Psalm 15. It's here for us too. And I just chose lying. It was the first thing that came to my mind. But think about a whole lifestyle change here, being cleansed from the dead works and evil conscience. Our bodies transformed and cleaned up by the washing of God's Word. Everything in our life, no fornication, no lusting, to mar that. When those thoughts come, you don't have to submit to them. They're going to come. They're going to come. They come all the time. We live in a world that it bombards you. But you don't have to dwell on it. You can become an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and your testimony that says, I'm not going to let this get me out of God's presence. I'm going to dwell in God's presence. Be a fighter. Don't succumb to those things. Don't be discouraged if you feel like your flesh has been weak in those things. But pick yourself up and fight again and say, this is one thing that I've desired. I'm going to do this. Lord, and this is Psalm 15. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? What does it say? Someone read it.
He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved.
Never be moved out of that place. I was thinking earlier, I used to think about this scripture that before you could ever get here and dwell in the Lord. This is how you had to walk. And I thought about it differently after studying this. And Lord, help me to remember the thought that I had here. Instead of it being who is permitted to do this, who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly. It's like the Lord let me see that it's more of a... Oh, I may not even be able to grasp this again. It's more of something that's working out of us, working... This is what... this is my resolve. This is what begins to work in my life. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Who are the people that are living in that, who are dwelling in that secret place? God is going to begin to work these things in your life. He's going to protect you from evil. And this is how you're going to walk in that place. Is you're going to walk uprightly. You're going to work righteousness. You're going to speak truth in your heart. Well, I'm not getting that very good as I had thought about it earlier. Maybe it will come back to me. I'm thankful for the protection that God gives in this place. One verse that, let's go back to Psalm 27 there when David said, "This is what I'm going to seek after." Verse 5 now, it says, "For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." So you have here, he's put me on a rock. The rock under me is firm. My foundation is secure. There's many, many scriptures about that. He is the rock. His ways are perfect. And he sets you up on the rock. So you're firm and you're secure under you. And then another place it says something about covering us with his hand. I'm not sure just where that is. But I'm thinking of this picture, the secret place being that place that's so covered, so protected. It's right there in his presence. But also we have the thought about it being on a foundation, on a rock that can't be moved. So under you, you're good. Over you, you're good. Around you, there's one scripture that says something about walls of salvation, or salvation shall I make for walls and bulwarks. Another place said, I will be a wall of fire round about my people. So you are protected and safe. On every side, you're concealed and hidden. There's a scripture that I thought of in Psalms chapter 4. But know that the Lord, verse 3, hath set apart him that is godly for himself. He has put the person in a hidden place. There's another scripture, and I just saw this the other day. I did not know this was in here. Let me find it. It talked about the enemies of the Lord. Psalms 83, verse 2 and 3. Thine enemies make a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up the head, and they've taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. This is the desire of the enemy. Oh, I want to get that one. I want to get him. I've got a plan. I've got a scheme. I'm going to come up against him. And do you realize what Satan is up against in trying to get us, and we're hidden by the Lord? We have this resolve. I will not go away from the Lord. There's nothing can separate me from the Lord. This is, you have all these enemies that are consulting against you, crafty counsel against your hidden ones. In the time of trouble, the Lord's going to hide me in his pavilion. I think sometimes that we forget just where we are in the Lord, just the cover that he has over us. Did you find anything about being covered with his hand? Is there a place in Isaiah that says something about he hides us in the cleft of the rock? I know that's in the song that we sing. He hideth my soul. And he covers me there with his hand. I'm not sure. I know another place in John, he says, there's no man able to pluck you out of my hand. But I wanted to find where it said that we're covered by his hand. My Father, well, let me read this to you while we're looking. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Yes, that is where Moses had said, Lord, I want to see your glory. And he put Moses in a cleft of the rock, and he covered him with his hand. I think that must be where we get that. Exodus 33, where God said in verse 21, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee by my hand, with my hand while I pass by. And I'll take my hand away, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. I guess that's where we get that thought. Oh, yes, that's where I think I've read this. I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand. So there you have it. You're on the rock. You're in the pavilion, safely hidden. You're a hidden one from all that take counsel against you. God covers you with his hand. You're safe. If, now this word if is really big, but remember what we've gone through first. He that dwells, he who has made this decision, this is where I'm going to live and stay, and I will never leave. This is who the Lord covers with his hands. Now, it's not the shaky ones. It's not the people who have plan B. And so, well, if God doesn't answer this prayer, then I've got this other thing that that's in my mind that I'm going to do. I'm not really settled. I'm not really married. I'm just kind of living here, and I may up and leave. Things get going in a certain way, then I'm out of here. There are people who actually hang around, God's people, who profess salvation, who have all of that in their minds. That's really in their minds. It's like default setting. If something happens, they go back to that. They go back to unbelief. They go back to frustration. They're angry with God over things. They get upset and hurt with people. People who are supposed to be living right, treat them a certain way. These people get all hung up on that. It's because they're not in that secret place. They haven't had that desire that says, this is where I'm going to live and settle and remain and abide here. But they always have something that they kind of default to. Let's not have that setting in our lives. Let's have it so settled. No one, not a person, not a voice of an angel who would tell me. If I saw some kind of a being that came and said to me, God doesn't love you, and this has happened to people. There are spirits. I was talking to Bev the other day, and we're talking about so many children that don't feel like they're loved. And I said, you know what? I think there's a spirit that troubles little children and says to them, your mom and daddy don't love you. I think there's an evil spirit that just tries to get people to believe your parents don't love you and God doesn't love you. Because I know this has to be true because it happens to children whose parents really love them. They may not have the ability to connect with that child as they should. And it's very important that we do that. But sometimes we miss it. In our best intentions, we miss it. And Satan's right there to say to you, "You're not loved. No one loves you." This lets us know, "I have covered you. My protection is over. You are hidden. You are covered. You are concealed. You're my hidden ones. I've set you apart for myself over here." I love that thought. Now, he who dwells in the secret place, that word place means a standing. It's not, again, something that can't be moved. Something that's just, it's there. It's a condition. It's not temporary. It's a condition of living. This is where I am. This is my place. This is where I'm going to stand forever. That's what this means. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Now, somebody said one time, a lot of our troubles are that we do not make God as big as He is in our minds. This word Most High, it means supreme. There is no one else. And I'm thinking this morning, how often, if you would just dissect your thoughts about situations and about trials and things that you're going through and what's making you trip and fumble, I think a lot of us could find out that we just simply don't have God in the place where He should be, as realizing that He is in control, as realizing that He is able. We have His abilities way down to ours. God, He's the Most High, the secret place of the Most High. He's supreme. He's elevated. He's lofty. It's like if you went up all the stairs you could go up, at the very top, there is no other top above Him. He's God. He's the Most High. Taller than any building, taller than anything. God is above everything. And He has a place that belongs. It's by Him that He brings you and He brings us and covers us and hides us there, sets us apart for Him, for the Most High. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word abide, it means to stay permanently. Again, we have that. So we have that word dwell, we have that word abide. It gives us that thought that this is permanent, this is not reversible for me, my will is set here. Nothing can take me from this. I will not let anything. I'm married. This is it for me. And then I think about the word Almighty. Well, I didn't get that word shadow, but it's essentially the same. It means a defense. Defense. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the defense of the Almighty. Think about so many efforts in our lives are to defend ourselves. Defend ourselves against humiliation, embarrassment, hurt, somebody doing us wrong. Did you know that if you and I will seek after God like this and say, you know what, nothing is going to separate me from God. I'm going to live in His presence. I'm going to dwell in His presence. I'm going to be cleansed by His blood. Turn away from all sin. Never willfully go back into sin again. Never choose to sin again. I'm going to live a life before Him in purity and holiness and righteousness. The Lord will defend you. He'll defend you. You'll abide under His defense. We no longer have to defend ourselves, but God will defend us. The Lord is one place, the same word is in Psalm 121, where he said, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade at thy right hand. He's your defense. He takes your, he goes to bat for you. He answers for you. He will put the words in your mouth that you need to say. Jesus said, when they haul you up to the authorities, and it turns to you to give a testimony to them, he said, don't think about beforehand, well, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say this. Just abide in the shadow of the Lord. When you get there, the Lord, he said, will give you words to say. He said, it'll be given you in that hour what to say. I think that's the same concept coming on down here. You just abide under his shadow. You just stay with him. This is it for you, and you're, God knows, Satan knows, you know that this is what I've chosen and decided in my life, and no turning back. God will defend us when we make that. And we had testimonies down through history. We have so many testimonies of miracles, miraculous defense that God has made for his hidden ones. Oh, that would be so wonderful to just be able to... I don't have any in my mind to tell you. I could read it yesterday and then try to tell you today, and it probably would leave me. But God has done this for his children down through the years of time. Hidden them, protected them, kept them from evil, kept them from harm and from danger. Jesus said, don't fear those that are able to kill your body and after that have nothing more they can do. Oh, to me, that's putting God in his place. He's almighty. He's the supreme. He's the most high. They can't get around him. Nobody can get past him. They can't fool him. They can't slip something over on God. God is supreme. He said after that, they can't do anything more. So the harm that he's talking about protecting us from, really, is not just physical harm. He may allow our bodies to suffer, be sick, die, be killed, be hurt. But Jesus said, they can't really harm you. Well, he said at that same place, not a hair of your head will perish. What? They've just killed you. They've just beheaded you. What do you mean it's not going to perish? He's speaking here of real harm done to your soul to separate you and get you away from God. Nothing can really separate us from God. Oh, I'm so thankful for this. This word abide under the shadow. One, it has several meanings that can go in a bad way or in a good way. In a good way, it means to stay permanently. You can also use the same word for the word obstinate. But I was thinking of that word obstinate as us being obstinate about, I'm going to stay with the Lord. Obstinate, I'm not moving. That kind of made me chuckle a little bit. The word almighty. Just to get that for you just a little bit. And this also made me chuckle. The word actually means burly, powerful, impregnable. You can't... invincible. Something so big. You think of a man who's burly, you think of a huge man. This is how he protects you. No one can get by him. No one can infiltrate this protection. Can't do it. He is over your soul. He protects your soul from evil. He protects you from real harm from the devil. And I was looking at this little verse now in a Bible called the Amplified Bible, where they take these meanings and they put it into the verse. And it reads like this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. That is, in a few words, what I've tried to say. Let us be those people who say, I am going to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. There are other scriptures. I'm hoping that you're going to be reading this week and you're going to find a whole lot more, and it's going to just resonate in your heart, and you're going to say, oh, there's that thought. There is that secret place. Oh, there's that word again. That's what I want. Well, pray that the Lord will bless this to us is my prayer this morning.